Good afternoon. Welcome. I'm Jeff Fan. I'm the Telecom, Cable, and Media Analyst of Scotiabank, and we're delighted to be joined by Rogers Communications CEO Tony Staffieri and CFO Glenn Bryant. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you, Jeff. Good to be here, and thanks for having us.
I think through previous discussions, Tony, your first priorities are obviously the Shaw transaction, and also improving the operations. So let's start with the Shaw transaction, and then we'll talk about the operations. What can you tell us about the progress with respect to the regulators, and timing on getting approvals for the Shaw deal?
Sure. I'd say overall the process is proceeding as planned. When we announced the deal, it was about a year ago. We said it closed sometime in the first half of this year. And coming out of our fourth quarter call, we said it would close in the second quarter. And that's what we're tracking to right now. We're working with all three regulatory bodies, as you would expect, the CRTC, ISED, as well as the Competition Bureau. And we've had very healthy dialogue with each of those in terms of the things they'd like to see. The statement from the minister last week, we think was very helpful in terms of articulating their broad view, which is on the wireless side, what they'd like to see is a continued fourth player in the marketplace. And so I think it's important we put it in the right context. This was, from the very outset, a cable acquisition for us and a cable deal. And so that's 90% of the transaction for us, and that's what we're focused on. And on the wireless side, we'll continue to work with the regulatory bodies on a solution that's going to achieve their objective. And as he said, they'd like to see that fourth player. We share a common view that we want to continue to see healthy competition that's backed up by healthy investment. And so we'll work through that, and we continue to be on track in terms of timeline for that. And as the minister said, he expects to provide the relevant decisions in due course. And so we're working through that. And so pleased with the way that's going. But I would say in general, there isn't anything there that I don't think is a surprise for anyone, certainly not for us. And we continue to proceed as planned.
The minister's statement was obviously only on the spectrum because that's their jurisdiction. Is it fair to say that the cable side, the combination of Shaw Cable and Rogers Cable, is not as big an issue from a regulatory standpoint? Is it fair to assume that, given that we haven't heard too much about the cable side of the deal?
Well, I think when we look at the cable assets, and I wouldn't want to in any way diminish the relevance of each of the regulatory bodies on either cable or wireless. But the issues become much less substantial in the sense that, you know, clearly with Shaw covering the West in terms of its cable assets, there is little to no overlap at all. And so therefore, just from a competition standpoint, the issues are much more diminished and much less substantial. We went through the CRTC process, which is the more relevant for the cable side of it, last November. And I think based on our submission and what you heard from the commissioner and the panel, as well as the others that attended, I think there seems to be, in our view, a good path to get the right outcome on the cable side of the assets. And so we're not foreseeing any significant issues as we continue to work through that, but we'll continue to wait for the ultimate decision. But you're right, from a competition standpoint, it is much less significant.
Right. Can you talk about the progress that you've made so far with integration and planning around the integration? It's a significant deal. It's lots of pieces. also a big prize at the end with respect to the synergies. Can you talk about the integration planning and then how you can access those synergies post-deal?
Sure. Why don't I start with a broader process, and then Glenn can speak to where we're at with the synergy savings. You know, as we think about putting these companies together, we have talked about synergy savings in the $1 billion, at the $1 billion mark, and we'll talk about sort of where we're at with that. But as you would expect, our synergy plans are focused on much more than just the cost synergies. There's the getting ready for the revenue synergies, our go-to-market approach, all our back office, our customer journeys and experiences. And I can go on, but think about everything that sort of relates to the business and the franchise and putting the two together, and so that we leverage the best out of both of each of our franchises. The planning for that and the work started almost immediately after we announced the transaction a year ago. And so we've been working through it, and as you would expect, you know, the planning has been based on various work streams, but it was important that we got the right very quickly as we started to get down to the practical and tactical pieces of it in the fall, was making sure that we had the right people on this. And so we have put in place a dedicated integration leader that came from our cable business and understood that business, who's physically located in Calgary, and therefore has a very good dialogue and access where permissible under the regulatory rules to interact with Shaw. And so that leader now operates what I would call teams on both sides of the fence, again, to the extent permissible, to work through each of these transition plans. And I would also highlight that we made other management changes at Rogers, which you've seen and briefly talked about on our Q4 call, that really are getting at making sure we have in place the management experience and execution discipline so that we are ready for the integration of Shaw. And so as we work through each of those work streams, again, those are generally on plan, and in many respects, we're further ahead than we thought we were going to be. Quite a bit of progress over the last 3 months, and so we're pleased with the direction that's going in. So against that backdrop, maybe Glenn, sure, talk to the synergies.
Sure. So as Tony said, we're on track. We've got a work group in both companies identifying different categories, and it's the traditional synergies where you would expect, Jeff. Duplication of back offices, the duplication will be eliminated. We have, you know, folks looking at bringing the teams together. This will not be a case of Toronto, you know, running everything out of Toronto. We are identifying leaders in both companies that will stay on. And not just leaders, but going on through the organization. So we'll have a critical mass in the West to help to lead those businesses. But removing the duplication of headcount and particularly the back office operations, that's underway in earnest. You'll start exercising on that right on day one as soon as we can. It's important to note that $1 billion target is exclusive of revenue synergies, and it's not impacted by the regulatory decision around the wireless business. That is focused on the wireline operations and the duplication that comes from that. Other categories, it'll be large targets for us. We have a heavy reliance on microwave for our backhaul right now out west, where we don't have extensive wireline footprint. That immediately gets an uplift as a result of having a deep wireline footprint out west. We'll be able to replace that, you know, comparatively more expensive microwave backhaul with a reliable fiber backhaul. That drives costs out. It also improves the reliability of the network. and the service offerings out west, particularly as we build out 5G further. And so number of different categories, it's on track, and we'll be ready with the close to proceed with that in earnest.
Let's keep the camera on you for a moment about the financing for the transaction.
Sure.
How is that progressing, and how are the conversations going with the rating agencies?
So we've been in close contact with the credit rating agencies throughout, making sure they understand how we are looking at financing the transaction going in, but also then our plans on delevering and the execution around that. From the outset, we've had financing committed through bank facilities. And then, of course, you would have seen our announcement yesterday where we have replaced a $13 billion committed bond bridge facility from the bank group with, in the one day, a $13 billion financing yesterday, Canadian $13 billion, where we issued U.S. $7 billion of term ranging from 3 years on out through 30 years into the U.S. and a $4.25 billion Canadian here in Canada, again, terms of 3 years out through through 30 years in Canada. Average term maturity on those across all those tranches is 14 years, and the average all-in Canadian interest rate, including the swapping back on the U.S. proceeds, will be right in the range of 4%, just above 4% across that $13 billion. And so we have the financing in place to close the deal. We've got clarity around, you know, the regulatory determination on the wireless assets. Those really were the largest targets still to get to. We've now set those aside, and we can now continue working on the business execution. The financing is looked after.
And finally, just on the deleveraging plan over the next 2 to 3 years, I think the rating agencies probably have some targets in mind.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk a little bit about the
sure.
deleveraging?
Sure. The starting leverage will be in the range of 5 times. Will be just likely just in the very low 5 times range on close. And then, as you've said, each of the agencies have a different way of looking at it. Moody's, for example, has a shorter timeline. They look at your where you're going to be 24 months post close, and their target is to have us be under on their adjusted basis somewhere in the range of 4.2 times. So call it low 4 times area within 2 years of the transaction.
Mm-hmm.
Standard & Poor's has a longer time frame, 3 years post closing. They want you to be down in the range of about 3.5 times. The delevering is going to come from free cash flow. On a standalone basis right now, Rogers has a free cash flow dividend payout ratio of about 50%. When we close on Shaw, that drops to about 30%. And so we will have cash available to, notwithstanding continuing to invest in the infrastructure and spectrum that we need, that continues to be imperative for the business to drive at the growth. But over and above that, we will have substantial free cash flow to pay down debt. We're unique relative to many of our Canadian and global peers in that regard with a low dividend payout level. But then also, we will be relying upon organic growth, COVID recovery, as well as those synergies to grow earnings. And that's really where the largest part of the delevering comes from. As mm-hmm. earnings grow, $2 billion of earnings growth is far more powerful at delevering than $2 billion of cash flow. We will have both of them to rely upon. And we're very confident we can hit those timelines and then carry on. We've explained our plans and our outlook to the agencies. I think we frame it up that the two businesses together are far stronger over the long term at driving the earnings growth from the investing that we need to make in spectrum and expansion of 5G services with that Shaw wireline footprint out west and being able to bundle those operations with our national wireless footprint, the heft that brings is far more effective at allowing us to make those long-term investments and carry the business within our target leverage structure through the long term. And so that's the approach, and we're confident we'll execute on it.
Let's turn our attention to the second priority, which is improving the business. Tony, I think on the back of last call, cable appeared to be a primary focus area for the team. It's good to see Robert Depaty being appointed to run cable. For those of us who've covered the space for a long time, he's well regarded. What are the changes that you think will be needed, or what are the changes that has been already put in place that you can talk about?
Sure. You know, as you said, I think as we look to our cable franchise, we think there's opportunity to grow value there, and particularly ahead of the Shaw transaction. And so, you know, as early as when we release our first quarter results, as we guided to, you'll start to see incremental improvements. And I would say the way we think about that business has, there's a few things. One is, as you said, we brought on Robert, who's already made some management changes that are really focused on a few key principles and simplify the organizational structure. Let's get focused on sales execution. We haven't been happy with the sales performance over the last little while. The pandemic certainly has handicapped us and the industry overall. But as we move out of that, we're starting to see good signs of back on sales execution through our various channels. The second piece of it relates to customer service and customer experience. There too, to some extent, we've been hampered by the pandemic in terms of employee absences, inability to train new staff that come on board. But we've made our way through that, and we're getting our service levels up very quickly. So we're back on that. And so those are some of the key execution items that when we layer it on top of our assets in that, we continue to believe that we could and should do better. We do have the best assets when it comes to in-home. In terms of internet performance, we offer 1 gig across the entire footprint, and in some selected markets, 1.5 gigs, and that'll keep increasing. Our average customer sits at about 200 to 300 megabits of speed. And so, you know, the demand for that better performance continues to be there. And then you layer on top of that, you know, when you look at our user interface, which is the Comcast Xfinity platform in terms of video, internet, smart home monitoring, it's very compelling. And so it's really about getting that asset to peak performance, and it'll be a journey, and you'll see it, as I said, in each of the upcoming quarters in terms of results. And as we integrate with Shaw, you know, our expectation is you'll continue to see quarterly momentum improvements in the combined cable business as well.
There has been a greater debate, I think, in the market about cable DOCSIS or hybrid fiber coax versus fiber. Based on what you just said, what I'm hearing is the debate isn't really as pronounced as it should be, meaning like the debate is fiber is better than cable. That's the narrative has started to, you know, pick up. Perhaps because of the operating results, but what I get from you, it sounds like, is it's more just sales execution, being able to put the product in place and customer experience, and that some of those metrics, share of net adds, whatever, will start to balance out. Am I hearing that from you, Tony?
That's absolutely right, Jeff. We have a very practical view of it. You know, we can have a debate about fiber versus DOCSIS 4. But the way we think about it is you don't have to be binary in terms of your selection on it. When you look at our network, we have a combination of fiber and coax. We've been largely deploying fiber for the last 10 years. And as we continued node segmentation, et cetera, we have fiber throughout. But where we do have coax, we look to DOCSIS and the evolution of DOCSIS to continue to make sure that we have a product that leads in the marketplace and, importantly, is well ahead of where the consumer demand is at. And so, as I said, we offer a gig and a half today. Consumers sit on average at 200 to 300. The roadmap for DOCSIS 4.0 will get download of 10, upload of 6. Again, well ahead of where the market is. But in addition to speeds, then you're looking at much better latency, privacy, security, and all those other things that we think will be evolving demands in the marketplace. And so it's something that is extremely cost-effective in ensuring that we have market leadership. And so I don't know, it's a debate we have to have. We will just take advantage of it, being a cable operator, and avail ourselves to that technology as it becomes available. Testing has already been done. Comcast published theirs, but there are others that are going on through cable apps, some of the other operators. The biggest issue right now has just been availability to hardware and equipment to carry out the test and move forward. But as supply chain lines improve, then you'll start to see the onboarding of that quickly ramp up as well. And so, again, a really good competitive advantage for us, and we think about it that way.
Right. Switching over to wireless, are there any areas in wireless that you like to see improvement, like what we discussed in cable? Because we've seen a nice recovery in some of the wireless KPIs and results over the last couple of quarters. It seems like the environment is quite healthy for all various reasons. So I'll let you talk a little bit about wireless areas to improve and just the general environment.
Sure. On the wireless side, what you have seen over the last several quarters is, as you said, Jeff, a very good improvement sequentially in market share in terms of subscribers. And as our channels open up, what you're seeing it play out is the strength of our channels. We've always had a leading distribution network. And as things open up, you're seeing that come through, augmented by the investments we've made in digital and direct to home through our Pro on the Go delivery process. And so pleased with the way the subscriber net adds and getting good share. And as we look at this quarter, we continue to see good momentum on that. The two areas that we are focused on in addition to that, first one is really ARPU growth and ensuring that we continue to see improvements on that. Roaming will certainly help, but beyond roaming, we look to the underlying ARPU growth outside of roaming. We did a guide that our blended ARPU would be somewhere in the 2 to 3% range in terms of growth when we release our first quarter results. And we continue to track to that. Some of that is roaming, but we're very much focused underneath on the underlying ARPU, as I said. And so what you should expect to see from us is a better delineation of our brands, being Rogers, Fido, and Chatter, and the value proposition that each of them have in the marketplace. We've already started to do that. So it's very clear what each of those brands stand for and what the value proposition is for them. And we think getting that right is going to be important to getting the right ARPU profile into our mix. And then the second piece that's a focus for us on the wireless side is fixed wireless access. We've been ramping up quickly and at the same time improving what I would call our sales execution there as well. And so you'll start to see results come through on that, and we'll be disclosing that. But that's a huge market, particularly in terms of rural coverage. The network is enabled for it across the country. And so We are focused, as you would expect, in Ontario and the East right now. But as we close the Shaw deal, it'll certainly be one of the upsides in terms of wireless revenues that we expect to tap into. For clarity, the fixed wireless access subscribers, when we release our results, will be included in cable, and we'll show that as a home product, if you will. But it's based on the wireless technology, obviously, as you know.
Got it. Got a few minutes left, and the last thing I want to touch on is something that you mentioned, Tony, on the call in January. You talked about implementing certain changes that align performance to get the right results. A lot of investors I spoke to sort of grasp onto that because, you know, we all know that when you put the right structure in place, the right incentives in place, that tends to drive behavior. So can you elaborate a little bit more on what you meant by that? I think there was a return element in the various business segments, but if you can elaborate on that, that would be really helpful.
Sure. And it really ties back to, you know, the way we think about it is, and the priorities you said at the outset, and maybe it is a good one to near the end of the conversation on, which was close the Shaw deal and improve performance. And then we look to our team as the sale, as the execution for that, the execution engine. And so have we got the right setup within our organization? So we're focused very much so on outcomes. And so we've been going through a revamping of our internal organization to make it much more simpler in terms of accountabilities. And as we look to every executive and every manager and every frontline person, it'll become more and more clear on what the outcomes are of that role for our customers, for various stakeholders. And so having that simplicity and focus on just a few items is really what we're going to be about in the next little while. And so it'll be an evolution, no doubt, but we think we've got the right basic constructs to allow that performance to come through and for our team members, especially as we integrate with Shaw, to have the right discipline and accountabilities constantly measured. And it sounds very simple, but it's really about getting it back to basics in a lot of ways in terms of our incentives.
I think we may be able to squeeze one more in, and that's your 2022 outlook. You know, a nice recovery on both service revenue growth and EBITDA growth. When should investors expect for you to be able to provide, I guess, pro forma outlook with Shaw after the deal closes? How quickly can we get around to that, you know, taking into account the synergies, cost to, you know, extract those synergies?
Jeff, I think we will refresh guidance mid-year with the close of the Shaw transaction going forward. So we'll have a refresh coming on the heels of that. Through the first quarter, we will be reporting on a standalone basis, and you will see us, you know, you'll see our progress on the guidance through Q1 standalone. With our second quarter, you'll see a clarification around where that goes through the second half of the year on a combined basis.
Great, looking forward to it. That's all the time we have. Tony, Glenn, thank you very much for being here, joining us late in the day at the conference. We look forward to having you again next year. Thank you to our audience for dialing in, and hope everyone have a great day.
Thank you.
Jeff, thank you, everyone. Thank you for your time and attention. Have a good day.